98FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors gift voucher for beds, flooring and more. 98FM.
I want to read a message that's just come into us and it says, very sad. We've been to hell and back with our children on drugs. That message came from a lady whose name we've also changed and whose voice we're also disguising to protect her identity, because Marie, this is a very difficult thing for families to even talk about, isn't it?
It certainly is, Adrian. And my heart is going out to that mum and to his mother, because I know how hard it is. We've been through it. It's horrendous, you know. We're a working class family, and we would come from an area where people would say it's disadvantaged, but we worked all our life. I was brought up in the area, and we've never had any problems. And then my children, as teenagers, start getting into the wrong crowd. We've done everything.
And sorry, how many children are we talking about?
Well, I'm talking about three that would have dabbled. One came out the other side. He ended up in prison as well. He wouldn't have taken heroin now, but he was tablets and all that kind of stuff. Got into the wrong crowd. I had to put him out. He was homeless. Ended up in prison. I actually told him that if I had to bring him and get him to hand himself in at one stage, because there was nothing else for him. And thankfully he came out the other side after spending nearly 4 years in prison for petty crimes. They weren't like big crimes. I'm not saying any crime is okay, but for petty crimes.
And was this all drug related? Was this all because his life was spiraling out of control with drugs?
With drugs. It was spiraling out of control, and also robbing then to pay for stuff and selling and all that. He came out to the side, that was fine. Then I had a daughter, and she decided to go down that road. And I do understand that if you mix with the wrong people, but I still believe that it's up to yourself. And they were minded very well, loved, cared for, taught well, I'm sure, as that job was. And they just choose to go there. I chased them around the area, I drove around, and the only thing I can say that helped me and my husband become stronger was I went to counselling. I brought my children to counselling. They decided it wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. And I went and I found the strength then to carry on and to say, I remember one time my daughter was graduating and I was worried sick that if I told her she wasn't going to the party later or to out with a friend, that there'd be uproar in the house. I bought her a dress, and I remember it was my first day going to council. She was with me, and I was thinking, I can't do it, I can't do it. So I just made myself go to council. Now, I walk in an area, and I walk with people that actually would have been drug addicts, and it still never prepares you for your own children. But I remember the day I went to council. That evening was my daughter's graduation. When I left counselling, I found the strength to say, you can go to graduation, we'll attend with you, but you're certainly not going out afterwards. And I was able to take her having a meltdown or a strap or whatever you want to call it, because the counselling, for whatever reason, was just for me. Mm. It doesn't work for everybody, but really, really helped me.
And you see, sadly, in the situation, in the story that we heard a couple of minutes ago from James, I don't think that mother has that strength because she has been unwell. But for you, you had to get that strength in order to be able to deal with it yourself.
To be able to feel in any way human again and to continue carrying on, walking on in life, because I was thinking, and no matter what I did, it wasn't helping. It wasn't helping me. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to know. They promised us something in the stars, and then it went back again. And we were breaking. My husband and I were just breaking. Didn't know what to do. It was family members. My children were stealing from them. We were paying back. I actually paid drug dealers coming to my door and everything. But I didn't know what to do to protect them. And then I realised that I can't do it. They have to do it. They have to want it. You know?
And did you threaten to throw them out?
No, I put them out.
You put them out. Okay. So
one of the hardest things I had to do in my life, but I did it.
Tell me about what it was like having drug dealers knock at your door.
It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. So luckily, and I know it doesn't sound that we were lucky, but we were very lucky, because we have my husband and I have a great relationship. We do love the children very much, but we love them. We have to realize we love ourselves also. So I paid once with the support of my husband, although he was really upset about it. And then that was it, never again. And I had to put my youngest son out then and tell the drug dealers that he doesn't live here with us anymore. You know,
so you went for counselling to develop that strength, but still putting your youngest child, what age was he at that time?
18, nearly 18. He wasn't actually 18.
He wasn't actually 18. And you ended up having to throw him out.
Yeah. And I know it's he may not agree with it, but walk a day in my shoes and then they'll see. You know, it's a tough, tough thing because, I mean, my... You have your children, you love them, you care for them, and then you have to make this horrendous decision. Mm.
Which must be soul-destroying. It must be as difficult as nearly burying a child.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't buried a child, thank God, but it was soul-destroying. Thankfully, my youngest son now is home. He's working, and I know he still does little bits of stuff, like smoking and stuff, but it's nothing... that's extreme, and she's not allowed in her home if he smoked anything, or he's not allowed to bring anything into her home. We're looking at hopefully, but because of the situation in the country, hopefully maybe getting him a little better for himself, because he's of age now where that he can move out and have his own independence. And she's kept a job now for nearly 2 years.
Well, so. That's fantastic. And the other two?
My other son now has a wonderful job, a wonderful partner, and she has two lovely girls, and life is great. So, thank God. And
so
my daughter is on the way.
Okay. So, as a family, you are slowly but surely coming through this, seeing light at the end of the tunnel. But the point of this whole conversation is the effect that drug addiction or even dabbling in drugs has on the entire family.
It's absolutely huge. You go around during the day, you're trying to walk and be normal, and you're going around thinking, how can I even talk to people, be normal, behave in a sociable manner when you know everything that's going on. I mean, there's things that I had to do in my life that I never thought I'd ever have to do because of my children. And as I said, we all love our children, but you know, we have to love ourselves, and we only have one life, so somebody is choosing. And as you said there, they are very, very selfish to take drugs and ruin their life. We have to step back because we've one life. That's it. We're gone after that, you know.
Now, thankfully, Marie, you have made it through without having lost one of your children, and touch wood, that never happens.
Yeah.
Because if you stay there for a second, here's a story of somebody who that exact thing happened to. Annette, welcome to 98FM.
How you doing?
Annette, you sadly lost your son to drugs.
I did. I lost him to a heroin overdose. He'll be 6 years gone on the 9th of January.
And we were talking about the effect that drug addiction has on families while the person is alive, but it leaves a very painful mark when they actually die.
Yeah, because there's the what ifs and the, you know, like most of your callers before, I tried to help my son. I mean, I paid drug pushers at the door. I'm still paying the banks off for loans that I got to pay drug pushers. I was threatened with hammers. I was threatened with guns. I have two other children who never touched drugs that got left by the wayside while we tried to deal with the addiction of my son. It had a ripple effect through the whole family, and one of your callers was saying like there's services out there, but unfortunately the services don't align with the drug addict when they're ready to commit to sorting their lives out. It's not a question of, oh, I'm going to stop taking drugs today and I'm going to go here and I'm going to get that and this will happen.
I know, but at the very start of this conversation, we heard a story from James about his brother who came out of prison clean. He came out of prison with somewhere to live. It's not like he was going to be sleeping in a cardboard box. He had somewhere to live, and he just decided to give the two fingers to all that.
Well, my son was clean for 18 months. He moved down the country to start a new life for himself. But because of his drug abuse earlier on, he had no friends. He had no social skills. He had no, you know, he couldn't cope. And unfortunately, he got into a relationship and both of him and his partner ended up on drugs and he ended up dead. It's not as simple. Like, addiction is, as you said, it's a very, very strong, it takes over every aspect of everybody's life. Even if, I've never touched a cigarette in my life. I've just completed a drug and alcohol addiction study course. So as I am, and my son is gone and no one else in my family is on drugs, so as I could understand the cycle
and
of
what
addiction
have you,
better.
What have you learned? What is your understanding as to what happened to your son then?
What I took out of what I learned was that my son became addicted through an emotional trauma. We all knew that. And he couldn't deal with emotions in his senses. So he dulled his senses by taking drugs.
Okay, now, I know that that would be a reason for some people taking drugs, but not for all.
No, one shoe doesn't fit all.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Unfortunately, there are a million reasons why people take drugs. And some people think they're the big guy or girl and they won't get addicted, blah, blah. We all know those. Unfortunately, addiction is a very, very strong. You've talked about they would walk over their own mother to get to what they need. Mm. They will take everything from you to get what they need. They will lie. They will cry. They will use every emotion, you know. And unfortunately, behind all that is the child you gave birth to, who you love unconditionally. Mm. So your emotions are absolutely traumatized, trying to, you can't think rationally. You're thinking like, if I don't help this child, he's going to be shot. If I don't help this child, he'll be found dead somewhere. How do I live with that on my conscience?
I know, but that was unfortunately the decision that that Lady Marie had to take, that she had to get the strength to say, I'm sorry, you cannot live in this house anymore, which is what she ended up having to do.
And my son couldn't live at home either, but I always knew where he lived and I always had contact with him. I never lost contact. Even when he sold his phone, we got him a new one so as we could have contact. Because I could not lie in my bed not knowing where my child was. Mm. I don't care what he did. He was not known to the police. He never burgled anybody. He never robbed anybody except his family. And the only people that he owed money to was his family, because we supported everything. I mean, I'm still 19,000 to pay to the banks and John has gone 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
I mean, do it again tomorrow.
And like I said already, you know, that is the power of a parent's love for their child, regardless what they do to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're talking about the effect that drug addiction has on families, your story, sadly, Anne, is just a prime example of how devastating it can be. I want to read just, in fact, I want to take one more call and one more message. And Anne, again, we've disguised your voice. And I do understand, obviously, we couldn't do the entire radio show with people's voices disguised, but I understand in this particular instance and this particular conversation how it is so important. And you've never ran a radio show before in your life?
No, never, never. I just got very upset just listening to it. I have a brother and he was on drugs over 20 years ago. He's off to 15, had a great job in the area. He was a counsellor. He's a counsellor, but he's not now. He helped loads of people and now he's back on. He's not on heroin. He's taking all different tablets. And I'm very close to him. Our family is kind of split. He doesn't see all. He's on his own. He has his home. But I'm afraid that he went in 3 months ago to get clean and he lasted 4 days.
4 days.
4 days. So he's going in now in January again. I'm not talking to him now. He was up in my home and I was trying to tell him, like, I believe in tough love. I assisted Concilia years ago. He was with her and I went to a meeting and I do believe in tough love, but it's breaking my heart because it's like if he's going around, he's forgetting everything.
And he's facing what will be a miserable Christmas.
He told me that he was depressed and lonely. I said, "You're welcome in my home every day as long as you're okay," I said. So he come up and he'd be okay, but I knew he was at been take something the night before. See, he goes to meetings during the day, and then of the weekend he'll take stuff. They buy and sell you. I haven't a clue.
And that was the thing that I was saying earlier on, Anne. I describe myself as a form of a drug addict in that I still smoke. I've tried to stop smoking. I've gone back on cigarettes, blah, blah, blah.
I'm fighting myself.
And I fight with myself every day over it. But the big difference here is, bar family perhaps worrying about my health, it doesn't have a direct impact on family and friends, me smoking cigarettes. But I can relate to the not being able to give the bloody things up, despite the fact that I've tried and tried and tried. It's so sad to hear a story like that, Anne, about your brother. And Annette, I wish you well. It sounds like you've learned a lot, and maybe you'll never really come to terms, but you have come to terms with your son's passing, have you?
No, I'll never come to it. It's unnatural to walk the earth and have buried your child. Mm. I'll carry that light till the day I die. But I have two daughters and 9 grandchildren, and I'm trying to be as strong and as productive as I can for those, you know. My daughters never touch drugs. They're productive people in society. Unfortunately, my son just couldn't cope.
Annette, I wish you well, and I appreciate you talking to us. Let me just read out one last message, and it says, "I've just made a donation to Quinwera after hearing about the good work that's done by these people. We need to hear more success stories when people survive addiction. I think families of addicts really need to hear these success stories. They give them a reason to live." That's very nice of that person for doing that. Anyway, they are very sad stories, but the point of the conversation was to highlight the effects that drug addicts have on their families. You're listening to 98FM's Dublin Talks. This is Adrian Kennedy.